Good morning, everyone. My name is Cheryl Smith. I serve with the worship team here at CLC. I also am a decorator. I do whatever they ask me to decorate. I like to decorate. So I've been at CLC for almost 6 years now, I think. That's right. Time flies when you're having fun. Ain't that the truth? So this is Serving with Purpose. Cody talked to us during week one about finding your place in ministry and serving. Do we have enough seats? Yes. Okay. And Brittany talked to us in week two about balancing your life and ministry. Today we are going to be talking about serving together, the heart and power of team ministry. Our objective today is to equip believers with the biblical mindset and practical tools needed to serve effectively as part of a team ministry. To serve with humility, love, and unity, the true heart of a servant modeled by Jesus Christ. Let's read. My voice is a little weak today. I'm sorry. So if I'm not talking loud enough, just put your ear like this, or your hand over your ear like this, okay? Sorry, y'all. All right, Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." So it's not about selfish ambition, but humble yourself. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So not my own interest, but others' interest. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we need to have that same mindset as Jesus Christ did. Mark 10, 42 through 45 says, "But Jesus called to them, to him, and saith unto them," and this is red letters in your Bible, "Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and over and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be your servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." So the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came not to be served, but to serve. God in flesh did this. We serve best when we serve together. We can read about this model in the book of Acts in the early church. In Acts, revival exploded when unity and teamwork were in place. Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of the chapter, we read that they met together in one mind and one accord in the upper room. And toward the end of the chapter, after Peter preached his sermon, we see a fellowship was formed. Verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Verse 46 and 47 says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread, and from house to house, did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." In Acts chapter 6, later on, we read that the disciples came together to appoint 7 individuals of good character, wisdom, and spiritual maturity to lead the daily administration of assistance to the widows and others in need. So the early church was a team-based spirit, spirit-filled believers functioning with different roles, but they all had one purpose. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So this is the fivefold ministry. It exists to equip the saints for team-based kingdom work. No one person holds every gift. We're all different. How boring would life be if we were the same? We are strongest when we are together. In terms of fulfilling our mission in this life, we can't do anything worthwhile alone. We have to have each other. So this talks about, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The key to this scripture I want to point out is that one planted, one watered, but God gave the increase. Brittany talked about burnout last week. So I want to say, in serving in isolation does lead to burnout. Yep. Serving as a team offers balance and blessing. Teams are important. We need each other. So how do we work effectively together? Let's look at it. How to serve effectively as a team. We serve best when we serve together. So number one, know your role and honor others' roles. Every part of the body matters. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 21 talks about the body, as well as Romans 12, 4 through 8. In Corinthians, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." It goes on to say, "But now are they many members, yet but one body." In Romans, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Later in the next following verse, it says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ." I can't turn my page. Each of us have a responsibility to be a part of the body. We are called to serve. Cody said it. You were saved to serve. You are a small part of the whole body. Brother Griever actually spoke about the body too a couple of times lately. And in the scripture in Corinthians, it talks about being cut off. You can't cut off part of the body that you don't like or that offends you. We must work in unity and fellowship with one another. It's difficult to work together if the body isn't working together cohesively. So, fellowship. That's a big part of what can unify us and bring us together. Know each other. The next one says, don't compare, but compliment. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 says, it actually tells us that comparing is not wise. So work in unity with one another. All ministries are working toward one goal, so don't isolate yourself. We all have a plan and a purpose and a goal that we are working toward. And we can only accomplish this by working together. Not just individuals working, just the leaders, but we all have to be unified as teams. Ministry shouldn't be working against each other, but we should be together. So don't compete with other teams or ministries. Sometimes competitions, they can cause division and discord. So really try to work together with those other teams. So I'm a part of the worship team here at CLC. I play more of a leadership role in there. But I'm also creative and I love to decorate. So I do a lot of supportive work there. And I don't want to go in with the mindset that I'm going to tell the leader how I think they should be doing it. That's not the way I should do it, but I should support what their vision is and try to work cohesively together. Does that make sense? Okay. Y'all with me still? All right. The next one says, stay in your lane, but cheer others on. I can't be every part of the body, nor do I want to be. So don't try to do everything, but instead be an encourager and lift one another up. Your part may change to a different part of the body even. So you may not always be the same thing that you always have been. Things change and seasons change in our lives. So be supportive to those who might take over that part of the body that you once were. Does that make sense? I've recently felt a shifting myself lately. I'm not a speaker and I'm not a teacher. And I don't enjoy public speaking at all. That's a little bit about myself. But through a dream that I had and a door opening and through prayer, God told me to prepare. So I did. My mom is over here trying to get me not to cry. So anyway, Seasons change. So just go with the season and be an encourager to those that may take up the mantle. What's the last one say? Someone read it.
Honor God with all your food.
That's right. So Mom and I actually talked about honor at the mother-daughter banquet a few weeks ago. Honor isn't just about saying thank you or being obedient. It's about the attitude. Honor is about the attitude behind what you are doing and toward the person you are working with. Are you working with someone and thinking negative thoughts about them as you are completing a task together? If you are thinking negatively of someone, chances are that your body language is saying it all for you. So be mindful of what your thoughts are. How are you speaking to your team members? What tone are you speaking at them with? Be mindful of your thoughts and show honor to those on your team, verbally, with action, and attitude. All right, I spent a lot of time on that one, but I won't spend as much time on the next one, so don't get nervous. All right, practice clear communication. No assumptions, confusion, or gossip, just clarity and love. The best form of communication is written and spoken. Don't assume someone will remember what you discussed in a meeting or what you said to someone in passing. A lot of times, you know, somebody might go to Cody and say something real quick, but he's going to run into five other people probably, and he might let that slip. So it's a good idea just to send a text, hey, I asked you this, could you do this, you know, just to get everybody on the same page. It holds accountability for both parties, both the leader and whoever you said it to, and yourself. Ask questions, clarify assignments, and follow up respectfully. Again, this can be done verbally, but use email and text as well. If a fellow team member comes to you asking a question that you don't know the answer to, encourage them to ask the leader. Chances are that whatever you're questioning, other people are questioning on the team. So try to get everyone on the same page about what's going on. Be honest, reliable, real, and authentic. Authentic. There's a quote from Discipled Together. It's by Brandon Crimmins. I think that's how you say his last name. It says, if we can be honest with each other in our relationships, we are actually more reliable as a unit or body. That's the power of the spiritual body of Christ that confounds the wise. But we will never achieve this together until we are authentic enough to grow together. So be authentic. Be real. Don't be afraid to let people in on what you struggle with, because chances are people on your team are struggling with the same thing, and they need that reassurance that they're not alone. Next one, number three, be faithful and flexible. Be on time. I think everyone was on time today, actually, right? If you were late, this is not pointed at you, I promise. If you are late most of the time, chances are you may need to do some reevaluating of yourself. When you are constantly showing up late, it comes across as a selfish thing, okay? Like my time is more important than yours. So just be aware of that. Do you think being late would create unity or discord? Discord, yeah. And we don't want to do that. We want unity. So be mindful of being on time and other people's time, okay? Follow through and adapt when plans shift. Do what you say you're going to do or what you commit to. If you say you're going on a trip or you're going to be there to help with an outreach event, be there. People are counting on you, okay? Avoid cancellations, but be willing to adapt when plans do shift. Be sure you have a daily walk with God so that you are sensitive to God's bigger picture as well. Make sure you're operating in the fruit of the Spirit when the plans do change. How are you reacting to those shifts and those changes that are happening? Are you showing it in anger or frustration, or are you long-suffering and patient, you know? So try to operate in those fruit. Last one says the team works best when everyone shows up prepared and yielded to the Spirit. That comes through prayer, fasting, and that daily walk with God, right? Oh, did I just get off? No. All right, here's a side note about faithfulness. True faithfulness happens after inspiration fades. We all have experienced inspiration in some form, but then reality changes our direction. So devotion is motivation to stay the course when inspiration fades. I think Brittany may have read that last week. I'm not sure. But I read it again. All right, verse 4, handle conflict biblically. Conflict, who likes it? No, I don't like it. Let me tell you, I don't even like Cody to honk the horn. That's conflict to me. They're going to get out with a gun or something and shoot me. All right, so Matthew 18 and 15 says, go directly to your brother or sister. Before doing this, I encourage you to pray first. Go to God. We need to take a step back sometimes and get God's direction. This will help you to know how to approach the person or the situation. If you're hurting, it's okay to go talk to the person and talk about it. The Bible tells us that, right? If you're not sure how to approach the person, seek counsel from a spiritually healthy individual who can guide you and also be a witness in the situation. Now, what I mean by spiritually healthy is someone who is spiritually positioned where it's not going to affect their faith. Prayer, discussion, wisdom, and love is how dilemmas should always be handled. But, and the next one says, choose restoration over resentment. Romans 12 and 19 says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord will fight your battles if you give it to him and let it go. This is easier said than done, and I know that, but we have to strive for that. He has to be our resting place. Chances are, whatever you're upset about within the conflict is not worth staying mad about. It's just not worth it. It's not worth the sleepless nights, the rise in blood pressure that you're going to feel. It's not worth getting that boiling up. So just resolve the conflict quickly. The conflict is not worth the relationship. Keep the goal in mind, keep the goal in mind, the glory of God, not the victory of ego. The bottom line, get your flesh out of the way and let God do his thing. That's Cheryl Smith. That's top name right there. All right. Number 5, be the example. This one's short and sweet. This is kind of like the golden rule of serving. Serve in the way that you want others to serve around you. Be the person you want to serve with. If you want to serve on a team that takes things seriously, organized, faithful, or maybe you want more of a spiritual boldness on your team, then I encourage you to be that example. Help set the standard on your team of what you want it to be. Stay kingdom focused. I'm sorry, y'all, my voice is struggling. Stay kingdom focused. It's not my way or your way, but it's God's way. Seek to please God, not self. Put God at the forefront and in the center of everything. Think less about about yourselves and more about the mission that we have been given. Next one says, let the vision drive your unity, not personal preference. I know we all have a way that we think things should be done. This is just human nature. But it can't be about us. It has to be about him. Align yourself with him daily to make sure that you have the same vision as he does and the same mindset. You shouldn't just do this individually, but as a team as well. Like, leaders can set that. Absolutely. So we've looked at serving as a team together. Now let's look at our hearts. The heart of a servant, humility plus love in action. What does a true servant look like? Of course, the best example of this is found in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. He came not to be served, but to serve others. Jesus healed the sick. He fed crowds, brought the dead back to life, washed feet, and performed many acts of servitude. Philippians 2:5-7 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of him, of men, not him. He came not to be served, but to serve others. He also chose low places to demonstrate the high kingdom values." In John 13, we see this at the Last Supper. Jesus was with the disciples, knowing of the betrayal that was among them, with Judas and then Peter, who would deny him. But he used that moment to teach them about love. Serving isn't about who they are, but who Christ is. Wealth, importance, fame, and betrayal are not factors when it comes to who you are serving. I have to remind myself, like, well, let's just move on. No, Jesus served even though he had divine authority. Jesus served even though he had divine authority. So the Creator himself cared for the created. John 13:14-15. "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you." God in flesh served by washing feet. Who are we to think that serving is beneath us? He placed high value on his followers serving others. In Matthew 23:11, it says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Ooh, I'm going fast. Humility is not only seen in how we serve others, but how we allow others to serve us. Peter was hesitant to let Jesus wash his feet at first. Sometimes it's hard to be on the receiving end of someone serving you. In Peter's case, he felt unworthy. Sometimes being on the receiving end makes you feel vulnerable. We think, if I receive this, then I may seem like it doesn't, like I don't have what it takes. Or I'm doing, someone's doing for me what I should probably be doing for myself. It's because of our insecure vulnerability. Oh my goodness, I ruined that word. Insecure vulnerability. I did it. Okay. Or unworthiness that we rob someone of a blessing, all because of pride. So don't steal someone else's blessing. Right. All right. Oh, yes. So Romans 12:3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So God is the source of our faith. And God has given a measure to us all. It's faith that enables us to live for God and to serve him and others. As you love others and serve them, the amazing truth is that you will actually be blessed and filled with joy. Proverbs 11:25 says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." So we're going to look at the characteristics of a biblical servant. Does anybody want to take a guess? Or not a guess, but just tell me what you think the characteristics of a biblical servant is. Anybody want to say what they think a servant should be or should have? What kind of characteristics?
Empathy.
Good.
Good listener.
Good listener.
Humility.
Oh, yes. That's on my list.
Love.
Love on my list. Yes. All right. Let's look at it. Is it on my sheet there? In front of you? No, I didn't know if I put them all on there. All right. I just realized I gave you the answers on that paper. Oh, goodness. Characteristics of a biblical servant. So first one is humble. They do not seek credit or applause. So they don't look for the credit, basically. Loving. They prioritize people over performance. Galatians 5 and 13 says, "So, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Serve in love. Two principles we must all live by is loving God with everything within us and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Basically, these are commandments. Yes. Oh, I don't need to change that. Faithful. They show up when no one is looking. And on time. Teachable. Do what?
That's why the horn blows.
Yeah. Teachable. Teachable. They listen, learn, and grow. Selfless. They do what is needed, not just what is seen. So our ultimate focus should be for God and others. Bottom line. This leaves little room for self-centeredness. Human nature and flesh is all about ourselves. Like, that's what it is. But we have to kill that daily, don't we? When we put God into the equation, everything changes. It's no longer, how can I be seen, but it's, how can I serve? How can I make a difference? Where can I make a difference? If you're too big to serve, you're too small to lead. So, the power of the early church wasn't just in their preaching. It was in their serving. When we serve together in love and humility, we become the kind of team that revival can flow through. I don't know why I'm so tongue-tied today. So I have some interactive questions, and you guys need to be with me here, okay? The first one I have is, what is the most important quality in a team member and why? Commitment. What do you think? Yes, commitment. Yeah, they need to be there, right? What's the first step? Showing up.
I think being teachable, being willing to change,
mm-hmm.
and adapt.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, like we talked about earlier, having a submissive attitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when there's like more than one way to skin a cat, being willing to skin a cat the way the other person wants to, like your leader wants you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Not always being right.
Yes. Absolutely. Listening to others, hearing people out. Yeah. We don't always have the best ideas, do we? We have to rely on the other people. That's why we're all different. Anybody else for that one? All right. The next one says, how do you personally handle conflict or offense in ministry? Conflict. It's the thing we all love, right? No, I'm just kidding.
With a stick?
With a stick? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You have to get your courage up and go approach the person or situation. Give that person a chance, because sometimes if you wrong somebody, you're not really sure that you did. You know, for example, if I honk at somebody, maybe that's a thing this morning. You know, maybe I got them upset. Maybe something else was going on in their life.
Ooh, that's good.
And because I was impatient, I just added to that festering problem they were dealing with. So sometimes people don't really even know. Like me honking the horn, I don't really know how I hurt that person.
Right.
But if they can somehow work up the courage and come to me and say, man, what's your problem? It's like 1 second. You know, you couldn't wait 1 second.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or on the other side of it, if you know that you've not handle the situation right, you know. Like, God will help you know that you had a bad attitude about something or that you had the wrong spirit about something. He'll help you realize it. And whenever you feel that, don't take a chance on it. I would say, even if there's like just a slim chance, like the slimmest of chances. Oh, I mean, I can justify it. Like, I can say something rude, like say Brother Grieve or somebody I know who has thick skin. But if I let that go, you know, I could damage our relationship. You know, it'd be something small. And when I go to, a lot of times what you'll do, what you'll do with conflict is you'll go to the person and say, man, I'm really sorry I was that way. And oftentimes they've already forgiven you.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll be like, what are you even talking about? You know, I've already moved on with life, but it's a beautiful thing. We should read on how Jesus addresses that, like the whole forgiveness thing. It's powerful.
I think one of the biggest things we can do when we have a conflict or an offense or whatever is to pray. Pray about the situation.
Josh?
Probably not try not to react in the moment. Wait a little bit. Breathe. Pray.
Yes. That's why, when you have conflict, definitely take a step back before you go approach the person. I definitely encourage that because sometimes that person needs a minute too. And then all it's going to do is lead to more conflict, which isn't great, right? Anybody else? All right. Is there a time you felt blessed by serving with a team instead of alone?
Almost always.
Every Wednesday and Sunday for sure for me. Yes.
I could be in a bad mood, have bad days at work, whatever. And when I come in for worship service or whatever, my whole attitude changes. It's like you just let everything fall off and you get your blessing.
Yeah. Yep. Anyone else want to share?
I love serving on a team. Just because it's beautiful to watch people grow. You give them an opportunity. It turns out they're like light years better at something than, you know, whomever typically does a thing. Like there's three Bible study teachers. It turns out all three of them are pretty awesome. You just got to give them a chance. Or there's multiple musicians, but in my case, it's just such a blessing to just take a sigh of relief. It's like it's okay that you're not shouldering all this responsibility alone. So
I love the different perspectives that you get. Yeah. Like it's definitely coming at it from all angles and not just your point of view. I can relate this to decorating a lot because I see one way it should be, but then like other people are coming in, they're like, what if you did it this way? And I'm like, that is such a better idea. Like, why don't I think of that? But that's why I have this team to help me, right? And that could even apply to like the worship leaders. Like they can't do it alone. Like they need input from their team. Everybody does. It's just not worship leaders. Anybody else want to add anything to that?
I think sometimes, even though it's a team effort, sometimes individuality, or how I say it, I'm more of a bull in a china shop. So if someone says, hey, let's get this done, you know, there's some things that sometimes, like for me, working around my house, I like working alone because it gives me time and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? When you're doing something, no one bothers you because they know if they come over, you might ask them to help. So it's a great time to praise while you're working because no one wants to work with you. But sometimes that's like you're saying, you're not really looking for the blessing to do something. You just want to get it done. God's gave you the ability to add.
Mm-hmm.
But now just because I choose myself to be the bull in the china shop and work on myself, but in a way, the rest of the team that's following me has one less thing to work on. So I am being a team player.
I understand.
But knowing
my
lane that I'm in
is
what allows me to work the best.
Yeah. That's a good point. Josh?
I think what I was going to say kind of aligns with that. A couple months ago, we did we went through a stage or platform reset, right? And my task was untangling, I don't know how many miles of cable, right? I wasn't the most thrilled about my task, right? But since I knew that I was part of a team and there were others there at the same time that were working on other things, it made me be able to complete my task and execute my task much better and probably with a better attitude than if I had been alone and doing that.
For sure. So you were doing like the hardest part of it, but yet there was people there still getting things done. It wasn't like you had to do the hardest part and then go do all the other stuff. Yeah. So.
Yeah, or just one part of it.
Yeah.
But if I knew that, you know, hey, I've got to do this and then I've got to go here and take care of something else, but there was a team there involved in that project that made the tasks a lot.
Yes.
A lot.
So doing your part, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it when Cheryl at home says, okay, it's party time. We have a 20-minute Christian upbeat music dance-off, and it's clean the house for 20 minutes. And so, for five people, you've got about, what is that? I don't know the math. It's an hour 40, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy. It's so much funner cleaning toilets when you know somebody's cleaning the floor.
They go so fast. And I'm not doing it alone.
I don't dread it and loathe it as much because I know people are having fun around me doing it.
Oh my goodness. All right. So, does anybody have anything else on that? I don't want to cut everybody off. Okay. So, here's the team challenge that you can take with you. You can choose one practical step your team can take with you this week to improve on and how to serve together. Whether it's clear communication, honoring each other publicly or privately, showing up early to pray as a team. Just think about how your team can improve on this. Maybe you need to be more the example on your team. Your personal reflection can be, what kind of team member am I? Am I contributing unity or discord? Am I causing confusion, gossip, tardiness? Or am I helping us to unify? Am I displaying the characteristics of the biblical servant? Humble, loving, faithful, teachable, selfless. What area of your heart needs to be aligned with the servant heart of Jesus? You can ask yourself these questions. I've got a few minutes. What does it say on those sheets? I didn't get one of those. Thank you. On the back, there are some things to think about, discussion questions. Now, these are supposed to go home with you, I think, and you can answer these on your own. But does anybody have one that they want to point out and talk about at all? You can read through those for a moment.
In what ways are you modeling faithfulness, humility, and flexibility to those that you serve with? I think just thinking about those things and, like, when you're serving, you said something earlier in your lesson, true faithfulness happens after inspiration fades. There's times that we all go through, you know, we don't really like to talk about those times because it's not much fun because I'm not inspired. You know, like, It's not, like, the best time to talk about. But when you're on a team, some of the best way that you can model your faithfulness and your humility and flexibility is by, A, admitting when you're not inspired and seeking help for that and making sure that you're staying faithful even when you're not inspired, but then also knowing your team well enough to where I can look at someone on my team and be like, I know something's off and I know they're not feeling right, and so I can show my faithfulness and flexibility and humility by going up to them and saying, hey, I've been where you are. How can I help? How can I serve with you? Is there something that I can do, you know, to lift up your spirits a little bit? I think that that's just really important, knowing that sometimes our inspiration will fade, staying faithful in those times and staying humble and recognizing that in someone else is such just a huge part of teamwork and serving in general, is just kind of recognizing that in yourself and others and doing your best to help in any way that you can.
Yep.
Those times.
Yep. You're saying that. I was thinking about, like, we get a project ahead of time a lot, and we start working on it at the beginning, and like you get super inspired by it, and you're like feeling it, like everything's going great, but then like it seems like you get wore down by thinking about it so much and like the inspiration starts to go wither. But you really just have to keep going with it till the end, see it through. That's what I thought of when you were speaking. Yeah. Anyone else? No? All right. We're done a little bit early. Thank you all for listening to me. It's Happy Father's Day, by the way, to all those who are dads. We've got a fun thing scheduled for today. I think there's a couple of different surprise speakers. So come expecting great things. Thank you all.
Good job.